We're going to torture everybody until value is delivered.
I did check. There is more wine.
I'd rather torture them into greatness.
We need more energy. I think that we all recognize that. We need more land power and Shell.
You're looking at all sorts of readily available, cheap hydropower that can power data centers.
And once again, it comes back to Greenland.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it literally is the best place in the world for data centers.
I really should just have this surgically installed at this point. Big AI circular funding drama today.
And there's no drama involved. Everything's on track. In working with OpenAI, there is no drama.
The first sign that there's drama is when someone has to tell you twice that there's no drama.
NVIDIA is not going to invest as much as $100 billion in OpenAI.
We never said we were going to invest $100 billion in one round. That never was said.
But yeah. How about the overall commitment? Because last September, you and OpenAI...
There was never a commitment. Let's start over again. We will invest one step at a time.
Mm-hmm. All right, but is that overall commitment still stands? Or it's not the commitment?
I told you just now.
Yeah, you keep putting words in my mouth.
Okay. Ooh, feisty.
Hey, is you coming on here reporting that you're not very happy with OpenAI?
That's nonsense. Yeah, that's complete nonsense.
Okay. A little sensitive to this topic. It's abnormal for Jensen Huang. Now, all of this is coming up today because NVIDIA CEO and man who soaked a dead crocodile in a vat of crude oil, Jensen Huang, was responding to a published report by the Wall Street Journal, which stated, quote, Huang has privately emphasized to industry associates in recent months that the original $100 billion agreement was non-binding and not finalized. He has also privately criticized what he has described as a lack of discipline in OpenAI's business approach and expressed concern about the competition it faces with the likes of Google and Anthropic, end quote. So the AI executives are preparing to flee like rats from a sinking ship at this point, and in addition to Jensen Huang's testy response,
I told you just now. Okay. Yeah, you keep putting words in my mouth.
Okay. Oracle panic tweeted, it's definitely not a response within a day or so of all this going down. Totally unrelated to any of this, they said, quote, the NVIDIA OpenAI deal has zero impact on our financial relationship with OpenAI. We remain highly confident in OpenAI's ability to raise funds and meet its commitments, end quote. A strange thing to tweet, apropos nothing, with absolutely no prior contacts from Oracle, and evidence we think that this bubble is so mutually pumped at this point that even one of these companies faltering and crashing out of it would threaten all of them. Let's see how the markets respond. Not great for Oracle, or really any of these other ones. Within days of this panic, the Financial Times published an article stating that banks are, quote, seeking out new buyers for Oracle data center loans, end quote, in a gigantic blow to confidence in what we think is one of the first loose bricks in the financial foundation. The article writes, quote, at least $56 billion worth of data center construction loans supported by the software company's future leases as part of its $300 billion deal with OpenAI have been given investment grade ratings. These ratings, which are relatively rare for infrastructure construction loans, have allowed banks to attract a much broader base of investors than usual for project finance debt, end quote. The report continued, saying, quote, borrowing costs for newer Oracle-linked data center projects have widened to 3 to 4.5 percentage points above SOFR, levels that are closer to junk-rated debt. Some investors are hesitating about whether to purchase the two Oracle-backed syndicated loans currently in the market in anticipation of higher returns in future, end quote. So next, OpenAI CEO and mayor of Whoville, Sam Altman, jumped onto the panic wagon. Quote, we love working with NVIDIA, and they make the best AI chips in the world. We hope to be a gigantic customer for a very long time. I don't get where all this insanity is coming from, end quote. The insanity might be coming, again, from this.
There was never a commitment.
The cracks are starting to show, and the rats on the ship are packing their bags. Jensen has been in a slow motion crash out for a month now about AI. He went on the No Priors podcast, for example, to speak with investors, and, as part of it, acted as the arbiter of what's good for society by rejecting critics and those in favor of regulation.
Extremely hurtful, you know. Frankly. Their intentions are clearly deeply conflicted, and their intentions are clearly, you know, not completely in the best interest of society. I don't think companies ought to go to governments to advocate for the regulation on other companies and other industries. Just in practice.
And we think he's right. Companies shouldn't involve themselves in lawmaking. Here's Jensen Huang involving himself in lawmaking.
Thank you for allowing us to bring GTC to Washington, D.C. We're going to do it hopefully every year. And thank you all for your service and making America great again. Thank you.
First of all, he's an extraordinarily good listener. I think everything I've ever said to him, he's remembered.
On the first week of President Trump's administration, he said, drill, baby, drill. He took so much flack for that. If not for this entire change in sentiment about energy growth in our country, we can all concede now we would have handed this industrial revolution to somebody else.
He is an incredibly hard worker. His work ethic, he starts as early as anybody else.
If not for President Trump's pro-energy growth agenda, we would have a very hard time growing at all.
He's excellent listener, he's incredible work ethic, and he's super smart.
That President Trump and the administration has a really, really grounded and common sense.
Late in the night, and I'm kind of ready for bed. And he would have gone for several more hours.
TMI. So to the public, these AI CEOs are selling the cure to cancer, free public education for everybody, a reduced requirement of working because AI will do everything for you. But we think, for the politicians, what these people and companies are selling, like Larry Ellison of Oracle, Sam Altman of OpenAI, Greg Brockman, of course, as well, Jensen Huang of NVIDIA, Lisa Su of AMD, and so forth, what we think they're doing is facilitating the corruption of governments and corporations as they further collude with each other to fuck over everyone else. I really should just have this surgically installed at this point. We brought you this video with store.gamersnexus.net and our AI Dystopia Kickstarter-style backer campaign. We're closing this campaign within the next week, so this is the last chance to get digital rewards alongside physical products. These include our new wallpaper packs that Andrew made, showing a 3D city he built in Blender out of computer parts like coolers and other components, like RAM bridges, explaining why the cost of RAM has gone up so much. We'll be emailing out the wallpaper packs to everyone who buys these, but there's also an additional wallpaper pack on the USB drives that we're including with each backer order. The packs also include things like our retro IO themed new coaster packs, featuring four soft textured, easily washable coasters. Each pack includes a retro computer front panel with floppy drives, including a floppy modeled into the drive slot, a retro colorway controller that's legally distinct, an IBM Model M inspired numpad, and a GN logo. The packs also include varying shirts, like our Vaporwave Smiley t-shirts. The Ghost Tier pack also has one last round of backer livestream group Q&As that I'm going to do with everyone who bought it, plus a pack of Snowflake the Data Pirate metal doubloons that we made. This helps us limit third-party direct sponsors and videos. Head over to store.gamersnexus.net to support our in-depth, independent reporting directly. In the eyes of NVIDIA, only NVIDIA can regulate the companies in the AI space and the data centers, but Jensen Huang can't dislodge his hand from the rectum of Donald Trump for long enough to escape the mud flow coming out of the administration's ass. As for why Huang is so controlling over policy, aside from the fact that this is the most easily bribed and manipulated administration of all time, we're gonna need the tinfoil hat for that.
We're gonna be working with Venezuela. We're gonna be making the decision as to which oil companies are gonna go in that we're gonna allow to go in. Oil was given to us by Venezuela. That's a lot of oil.
Drill, baby, drill. We're still power constrained.
Yeah, we're gonna need a bigger hat. If only there were places with an abundance of oil, natural gas, and rare earth minerals that would appease the mega corporate CEOs.
Why do we need Greenland?
Well, thank you for asking me that question. Yes, I did have the privilege of being one of the lead White House staffers on this effort during President Trump's first term.
We've all seen it on the map, but a lot of people don't realize how much stuff we could really use, and companies like yours could use, with rare earth and things like that for the new technology.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just a tremendous opportunity.
So Greenland could be useful, but at least Trump is ruling out military force.
You are not ruling out military force to take Greenland.
I don't rule it out. I don't say I'm going to do it, but I don't rule out anything. No, not there.
At least it's not like the former White House associate policy advisor isn't saying, for example, that Greenland is literally the best place in the world for data centers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it literally is the best place in the world for data centers. We're looking at literally trillions of dollars worth of resources needed for technological and industrial growth.
Right.
You're looking at all sorts of readily available, cheap hydropower that can power data centers. You're looking at, especially in the wake of yesterday's announcement, the ideal location for data right. center and technological development.
It's cooler up there, and you actually need to produce all of this energy to cool down the new technology.
We're going to need the red strain, too. Can someone get me the red strain? It gets weirder still, and I sound even crazier, when considering Peter Thiel and his relevance here. He seems to be connected to everybody. And weirdly, he also seems to want a piece of Greenland. He's part of the original PayPal mafia and is directly linked to Elon Musk. He helped put J.D. Vance on the ballot, thinks an anti-AI so-called Luddite is the Antichrist, and is deeply connected within the AI industry. These connections include being a mentor to and investor in Sam Altman's enterprises, with Thiel urging Altman to stop considering AI safety regulation and research as it was getting in the way. Quote, the AI safety people will destroy OpenAI, end quote, Thiel was quoted as saying in a report. The current ambassador to the Kingdom of Denmark and Greenland is Ken Howery. Howery co-founded PayPal with none other than Peter Thiel and Elon Musk. According to Reuters, Silicon Valley investors want, quote, a hub for artificial intelligence, autonomous vehicles, space launches, micronuclear reactors, and high-speed rail, end quote, in Greenland, to be named Freedom City as a low-regulation corporate paradise. Now, Thiel's spokesperson said, quote, Peter isn't involved in any plans or discussions regarding Greenland, end quote. But those he mentored seem to be, including Joe Lonsdale, who Reuters said, quote, celebrated expanding our country to Greenland, end quote. Lonsdale was mentored by Thiel and is a co-founder of Palantir. It may be that a combination of Thiel and Lauder are the origin of this dream, with Howery helping facilitate it. Thiel is also connected directly to Jensen Huang via Palantir, which Thiel co-founded and which Jensen Huang proudly announced a partnership with.
Palantir is going to integrate NVIDIA. We work with Palantir to accelerate everything Palantir does. Palantir.
But it's not news that NVIDIA and the administration are deeply connected. Previously, Huang attended a Trump dinner at Mar-a-Lago, where partygoers are said to have paid $1 million each. The dinner benefited MAGA Inc., which AMD has also donated $1 million to, but we'll talk about that in a separate video. And OpenAI president Greg Dollar Store Jensen Huang Brockman gave $12.5 million to. The Mar-a-Lago bribery event was a real who's who of who you shouldn't want to associate with if you're Jensen Huang. Unless maybe corruption and access are the thing you're trying to associate with.
Reportedly at what appears to be the same MAGA Inc. fundraiser party as Jensen Huang was reported to be at was cosmetics billionaire inheritor Ronald Lauder, who the New York Times says attended the dinner.
Lauder is in the Epstein files, and is the father-in-law to Trump's newly appointed Fed Chair Kevin Warsh, who is also in the Epstein files alongside Lauder's daughter, Jane, in connection with attending island parties with Epstein. But this is the type of company that these AI CEOs have chosen to associate with and have chosen to keep lately as they further embedded themselves with the government. And it's no wonder that Jensen Huang in particular has been on an interview PR circuit lately with the hardest pushback and hardballers you can find in the industry.
We keep hearing from the Wall Street Journal, from Reuters, the deal's on ice, that it can't be done, that there's so much dispute. Another thing that makes me upset, Jensen, is that perhaps it is possible that there's motivation here to kill the deal, because I'm not hearing anything from either party that sounds like this. Well,
just imagine we have a billion robots. And this is the part where you said, so that's what's AI.
All of this is to power AI, which Altman has no shame in making big claims about. If only he had more compute afforded by NVIDIA and by more electricity and by more data centers and by fewer regulations, he could both cure cancer and provide free universal education.
And as we look forward another year or 2 years, if you have, you know, let's say it takes 10 gigawatts of compute or 5 gigawatts of compute, you could choose one of two things. You could choose to cure cancer by doing a bunch of, having AI do a bunch of research, or you could choose to offer free education to everybody on Earth. No one wants to make that choice. And so increasingly as we see this, the answer is just much more capacity so that we can serve the massive needs and opportunity with this.
But the reality of the uses of AI for this White House are more opaque. This is an ad for Fannie Mae, the National Mortgage Association, with over $4 trillion in assets. The ad features an endorsement from Donald Trump.
America was built one home at a time. I believe that. Because the American dream was never just an idea. It was a front door. When banks can say yes, families can move forward. The all-new Fannie Mae, protector of the American dream.
Except it's not Donald Trump. For about 10 seconds leading up to it, and for only about 1 second after the AI-generated audio begins, Fannie Mae's ad has a message that reads, quote, "The audio of President Trump is AI-generated and used with permission," end quote. We'd be surprised if it didn't also feature a financial exchange. We firmly believe that the panicked and defensive response from NVIDIA, OpenAI, and Oracle in particular to this Wall Street Journal story will go down in history as the moment where it all started to crumble. The cracks in the foundation are just beginning to show. The bubble hasn't popped yet. But what's clear to us is that the bubble is bursting in slow motion. It's just not clear how much time has slowed down yet. Right now, they're all bribing their way into the graces of political favor, but even that has limits before there's no one left to hold the bag. We think Sam Altman's promises, and the AI industry in general, may be at this point physically impossible to complete in the timelines that they've suggested. This will be important to understand when we inevitably look back at what caused the bubble to burst, because it will burst at some point. It's just, everyone at this point seems to be acknowledging that, including NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang, and we'll talk about that a little more at the end, where he has some comments about how the economy is basically held up on the back of NVIDIA, which is framed in a joke, but which he indicates is actually basically the truth. Anyway, when we eventually look at the wreckage caused by the feckless and dangerous expansion of these companies over the period of time they've done it in, it would help to have a timeline. So let's start with that. September 22nd, 2025, NVIDIA and OpenAI jointly announced a 10 gigawatt project without any uncertainty. NVIDIA said it would deploy, quote, "at least 10 gigawatts of AI data centers with NVIDIA systems," end quote, under OpenAI, and invest, quote, "up to $100 billion, end quote, progressively per gigawatt. On September 23rd, NVIDIA tweeted that the data centers would feature, quote, "millions of NVIDIA Vera Rubin GPUs," end quote. The same day, CNBC reported that President Trump was briefed before all of this. Quote, "It helped that Huang and Altman had been part of President Trump's state visit to the UK a week earlier, allowing the president to be briefed on the agreement days in advance," end quote. And we're sure there wasn't any insider trading anywhere. Still, on the 23rd, NVIDIA told Tom's Hardware that the deal for millions of GPUs won't impact consumer supply, magically. Quote, "Our investments will not change our focus or impact supply to our other customers. We'll continue to make every customer a top priority, with or without any equity stake," end quote. Except they do impact them, if only because Sam Altman reserved 40% of the world's global DRAM supply as a result, which immediately reduces availability of silicon for consumers. And as you all know, following this was actually exactly when the DRAM, the system memory prices, skyrocketed to 3 to 5 times what it used to be, all thanks to these AI deals. A lot happened. On September 23rd, OpenAI published a blog post about its Stargate data center project expansion, and not the fun kind with MacGyver. The post announced a collaboration with Oracle and SoftBank for OpenAI to open 5 new data center locations alongside NVIDIA Sugar Baby CoreWeave for a total of, quote, "nearly 7 gigawatts of planned capacity," end quote, which OpenAI said would result in, quote, "over $400 billion in investment over the next 3 years," end quote. OpenAI noted a path to securing, quote, "the full $500 billion 10 gigawatt commitment we announced in January by the end of 2025, ahead of schedule," end quote. So like the Goa'uld, the parasitic AI obsession has completely taken over Sam Altman's brain. CNBC announced that NVIDIA will invest in OpenAI in cash, noting that OpenAI will take the cash from NVIDIA, which it hadn't received, and in total, greater than NVIDIA's cash on hand, counting all $100 billion promised anyway, to then give back to NVIDIA to lease GPUs that hadn't been made, to put in data centers that haven't been built, using an electrical grid that isn't ready. But OpenAI didn't stop there. Sam Altman woke up with AMD on October 6th, with the two companies announcing a 6 gigawatt deployment of AMD MI450 GPUs. The two wrote, quote, the first 1 gigawatt deployment of AMD Instinct MI450 GPUs is set to begin in the second half of 2026, end quote. The deal was creatively crafted, with OpenAI writing, quote, as part of the agreement to further align strategic interests, AMD has issued OpenAI a warrant for up to 160 million shares of AMD common stock. Structured to vest as specific milestones are achieved. The first tranche vests with the initial 1 gigawatt deployment, with additional tranches vesting as purchases scale up to 6 gigawatts. Vesting is further tied to AMD achieving certain share price targets and to OpenAI achieving the technical and commercial milestones required to enable AMD deployments at scale, end quote. Jensen thought it was creative, commenting on CNBC 2 days later with a catty reply, but not before a weird comment suggesting he was aware of the deal in advance.
What do you think about it? Did you know about that deal before it was announced?
Not really, but...
He later strangely catches himself mid-slip on suggesting OpenAI is hugely profitable, before correcting himself, and then before the jealousy of his cousin Lisa Su's deal slips out.
I mean, this is the most profitable, well, the most valuable startup company ever. And so this is a great opportunity.
You mentioned that your deal is very different from AMD's. AMD is in a situation where they're basically giving away a big chunk of their company to be able to be a partner with OpenAI and sell them some of their goods. Is that how you read it?
Yeah, I saw the deal. It's imaginative. It's unique and surprising. Considering they were so excited about their next generation product, I'm surprised that they would give away 10% of the company before they even built it. And so anyhow, it's clever, I guess.
Now October 13th, so about 21 days after the $100 billion NVIDIA deal and 7 days after the AMD deal, OpenAI announced a new deal with Broadcom to deploy another 10 gigawatts of AI accelerators, this time designed by OpenAI, meaning Altman has now promised 26 more gigawatts of compute in the space of about 3 weeks, not counting the other promises that we haven't covered here. It's hard to fathom what a gigawatt actually is. The United States Energy Information Administration has a map noting that the single largest nuclear power plant in the United States produces 4.5 gigawatts of power. The administration says that in 2024, the U.S.'s 94 nuclear reactors had a, quote, total net generating capacity of nearly 97 gigawatts, end quote. In a span of 21 days, OpenAI promised almost one-third of the total net generating capacity of all nuclear reactors in the entire United States. To help further put this into perspective, energy.gov says that 1 gigawatt is the same as about 1.9 million solar panels, 294 wind turbines, or if you prefer, the more American measurement of 1.3 million horses. We always find the most intelligent way to measure things. Carbon Collective says that 1 gigawatt would power 876,000 typical U.S. households for an entire year. Even just one of the now multiple 10-gigawatt data center promises by Sam Altman would equal almost 9 million households of power. But back to the Broadcom deal, the blog post wrote this, quote, OpenAI and Broadcom today announced a collaboration for 10 gigawatts of custom AI accelerators. OpenAI will design the accelerators and systems, which will be developed and deployed in partnership with Broadcom, end quote. 17 days later, October 30th, OpenAI announced an expansion of its Stargate build-out. The company boasted, quote, over 8 gigawatts of planned capacity, end quote, and, quote, more than $450 billion investment over the next 3 years, end quote. OpenAI said that it's ahead of schedule, quote, to meet the $500 billion 10-gigawatt commitment we announced in January, end quote. November 2nd, BG2Pod had Microslop CEO Satya Nadella and OpenAI's Sam Altman on, with the host noting that OpenAI had promised over $1 trillion in spend against a $13 billion annual revenue. Altman was snippy in his response.
OpenAI's revenues are still a reported $13 billion in 2025, and Sam, on your live stream this week, you talked about this massive commitment to compute, right? $1.4 trillion over the next 4 or 5 years with, you know, big commitments, $500 million to NVIDIA, $300 million to AMD and Oracle, $250 billion to Azure. So I think the single biggest question I've heard all week and hanging over the market is, how can a company with $13 billion in revenues make $1.4 trillion of spend commitments? You know, and you've heard the criticism,
First
Sam.
Of all, we're doing well more revenue than that. Second of all, Brad, if you want to sell your shares, I'll find you a buyer. I just, enough. Like, you know, people are, I think there's a lot of people who would love to buy OpenAI shares. I don't think you would.
Including myself. Including myself.
People who talk with a lot of like breathless concern about our compute stuff or whatever, that would be thrilled to buy shares. So I think we could sell, you know, your shares or anybody else's to some of the people who are making the most noise on Twitter, whatever, about this very quickly. We do plan for revenue to grow steeply. Revenue is growing steeply. We are taking a forward bet that it's going to continue to grow, and that not only will ChatGPT keep growing, but we will be able to become one of the important AI clouds.
We'll spare you the rambling, but Altman does not answer the question. They weren't finished, though. November 3rd, OpenAI announced a deal with Amazon Web Services, stating, quote, "Today, AWS and OpenAI announced a multi-year strategic partnership that provides AWS's world-class infrastructure to run and scale OpenAI's core artificial intelligence workloads starting immediately. Under this new $38 billion agreement, which will have continued growth over the next 7 years, OpenAI is accessing AWS compute comprising hundreds of thousands of state-of-the-art NVIDIA GPUs, with the ability to expand to tens of millions of CPUs to rapidly scale agentic workloads. AWS has unusual experience running large-scale AI infrastructure securely, reliably, and at scale, with clusters topping 500,000 chips," end quote. Now, November 19th, NVIDIA earnings come out, and it's a record for the company. NVIDIA announced a $57 billion revenue in its earnings, climbing 62% year-over-year. NVIDIA claimed data center revenue of $51.2 billion, up 66% year-over-year. Margins were likewise insane, with NVIDIA stating quarterly GAAP gross margins at 73.4% and non-GAAP at 73.6%. NVIDIA recapped its data center highlights on the page as well, including its Anthropic deal for a cute 1 gigawatt of compute. NVIDIA's SEC filings also went public. The company said, quote, "We expect to continue investing in strategic partnerships in the third quarter of fiscal year 2026. We entered into a letter of intent with an opportunity to invest in OpenAI. In November 2025, we entered into an agreement, subject to certain closing conditions, to invest up to $10 billion in Anthropic," end quote. However, NVIDIA tempered expectations in its SEC filing, quote, "There's no assurance that we will enter into definitive agreements with respect to the OpenAI opportunity or other potential investments, or that any investment will be completed on expected terms, if at all. The timing and magnitude of these and other investments we make will depend on various factors, including the ability of our partners to successfully develop and deploy AI infrastructure. There can be no certainty as to the timing or amount of capital we may ultimately invest in these or other strategic partnerships, and we may be limited by our available liquidity and capital resources," end quote. December 3rd, Reuters reported that NVIDIA's CFO said the OpenAI $100 billion deal from September hadn't been finalized. Quote, "NVIDIA's agreement with ChatGPT parent OpenAI to invest up to $100 billion in the startup is still not finalized," the chipmaker's CFO said on Tuesday. Kress's comments add to the intensifying discussion around a partnership that ties two of the most significant players in the artificial intelligence race and is at the center of rising concerns around circular deals in the AI ecosystem, end quote from Reuters. On December 19th, TechCrunch reported on a Wall Street Journal story that Sam Altman was looking for an early Christmas, aiming to raise $100 billion at an $830 billion valuation, per its headline. Then we enter into January with the Consumers Eat Shit Show at CES 2026. NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang dreamt big about AI chatbots that know literally everything about you.
"We would like to have this AI stay with us our entire life and remember every single conversation we've ever had with it. Right?"
But he also acknowledged the elephant in the room, not the one he normally acknowledges.
"Four elephants. One GPU.
People ask, where is the money coming from?"
NVIDIA had a lot of technical difficulties in its keynote this year, too. We already covered those, though.
"This last year was incredible. This last year, there's a slide coming. This is what happens when you don't practice. Basic way of building applications using language models. These models are also world class. All systems are down." "I think my system's still down, but that's okay. I'll make it up as I go."
By January 8th, Huang appeared on No Priors, where he famously talked about how it's hurtful that people are mean about AI. More importantly, though, he made some interestingly linear claims about revenue to capacity.
"And we always go back to OpenAI's revenues, 100%, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
You ask somebody, hey, is there an AI bubble? everybody goes directly to OpenAI's revenues. First of all, if OpenAI currently has twice the capacity, their revenues would double. You guys know that. If they have 10 times the capacity, I really believe their revenues were 10 times.
And now we get into the craziness of just the last couple weeks. On January 29th, the New York Times ran a piece that stated OpenAI was seeking to raise $100 billion, again, separate from the prior hundreds of billions of dollars, this time linking OpenAI to what the Times cited as, quote, Middle Eastern sovereign wealth funds, end quote. The Times wrote that OpenAI also had open conversations with NVIDIA, Amazon, Microsoft, and SoftBank for investment. Reuters confirmed this, adding some specificity that NVIDIA, Microsoft, and Amazon are, quote, in talks to invest up to $60 billion in OpenAI, end quote, which it cites as coming from the publication The Information. The Information's report, via Reuters, notes an up to $30 billion investment by NVIDIA into OpenAI, again, separate from the prior promises, alongside a potential sub-$10 billion investment from Microsoft, say because they're poor or something, and greater than $10 to $20 billion investment by Amazon. Then we hit D-Day for these companies, which was the January 30th Wall Street Journal publication rumor that started this video. The original announcement in September saw NVIDIA's stock climb by about 4%, so it's fitting that after Wall Street Journal's story, NVIDIA's stock has now plummeted 10% from January 30th to February 5th. In fact, from its all-time high, and at the time of writing, NVIDIA has lost over $700 billion in value. On January 31st, the cracks continued to spread, as NVIDIA said it will, quote, absolutely, end quote, be involved in OpenAI's funding round. But the same day, a Taiwanese reporter asked Huan if NVIDIA would be investing $100 billion or over in the OpenAI funding round coming up.
It's going to be over 100.
No. Nothing like that.
In the Street interview on January 31st, though, Huan did say this.
We are going to make a huge investment in OpenAI. We will definitely be involved in their round. We will invest a great deal of money. Probably the largest investment we've ever made.
That brings us back to the intro. On February 1st, Oracle put out a press release that said, quote, Oracle is raising money in order to build additional capacity to meet the contracted demand from our largest Oracle Cloud infrastructure customers, including AMD, Meta, NVIDIA, OpenAI, TikTok, xAI, and others. Oracle expects to raise $45 to $50 billion of gross cash, that is gross, proceeds during the 2026 calendar year. The company plans to achieve its funding objective by using a balanced combination of debt and equity financing to maintain a solid investment-grade balance sheet, end quote. February 2nd is when the panic really started to set in, with both Oracle and Sam Altman tweeting about the deals, as we saw in the intro. The same day as those tweets, Sachin Katty of OpenAI tweeted something that, fittingly, reads as if ChatGPT wrote it. Quote, our partnership with NVIDIA is foundational. NVIDIA is our most important partner for both training and inference, and our entire compute fleet runs on NVIDIA GPUs. This is not a vendor relationship. It is deep, ongoing co-design. That sounds like GPT. We build systems together, and our frontier models are the product of multi-year hardware and model engineering done side by side, end quote. He continued with some perspective. Quote, we scaled available compute from 0.2 gigawatts in 2023 to 0.6 in 2024 to roughly 1.9 gigawatts in 2025, and that pace is accelerating, end quote. Remember that OpenAI is promising tens of gigawatts within just years, so it'll have to multiply this rate several times just to achieve its objectives. On February 3rd, the panic continued, with Oracle tweeting, quote, our partners financing for the Doña Ana County, New Mexico, Shackelford County, Texas, and Port Washington, Wisconsin data centers are secured at market standard rates, progressing through final syndication on schedule and consistent with investment-grade deals, end quote. Because nothing says, this is fine, like randomly tweeting about your financing. Now, the newest information is that NVIDIA has canceled the 50 Super Series refresh for 2026, with the RTX 60 series potentially getting shoved out of 2027. To quote the meme, big if true. The 50 series refresh originally had a rumored launch date of end of 2025. Obviously, we've missed that. There was discussion as well of a CES 2026 launch date, or announcement at least, and of then a first quarter 2026 announcement and release. And now the story is that it's not even arriving at all this year, which would be noteworthy. Super Series GPUs typically involve a VRAM refresh and or a price refresh, sometimes in unison, sometimes separately. For example, the 4080 Super, when that came out, brought down the MSRP of the 4080, which was way too high, already at $1,200. Super came in at $1,000. And a lot of people said, okay, step in the right direction. Still too high for an 80 class card, but it looked like it was improving. The other way that NVIDIA launches Super Series cards is to add VRAM to an existing model and then append the word Super to it. So you either get an upgrade at basically the same MSRP as the original launch, even though the original launch product should be down by this point, or you get the reduction in MSRP, just depending on how they go about adding that extra VRAM to the devices in the times they've done that. This strategy right now is not viable. NVIDIA wouldn't be able to do this without actually increasing the prices, and they likely know that. Where right now, NVIDIA can kind of stay quiet, and the prices are what the prices are. But the MSRP at launch, that's already in history. It's written down as that was the price. If they launch something now, it's going to have to be more expensive. And it may even be the same as the MSRP of the cards right now that are on sale today and be better. But because the number is going to be higher for the MSRP for launch, NVIDIA may want to avoid that situation, coupled with the fact that they could use the memory supply and the GPU supply anyway for the AI customers. And because NVIDIA is buying memory from mostly the big three suppliers for HBM, for AI, but they also buy GDDR7, whatever, and they package it together when they sell it to the board partners. So they could use that stuff anyway, and it also avoids a kind of nasty PR scenario where they take the hit for stuff like this now rather than taking the hit for either lying about MSRPs or increasing their prices later. So right now, a Super Series refresh is unlikely. VRAM has actually multiplied in price. It's hard to feel bad for the company, though, that is most directly driving this problem.
Don't feel sad for anybody at my layer.
It's easy to try and handwave NVIDIA's involvement in the problem it has created, we think, by saying, oh, well, there's other suppliers upchain. There's a single point of failure kind of for the equipment that's manufactured for EUV. There's TSMC for the GPU silicon. There's not that many suppliers for the memory, basically three of them. And so it's easy to say, well, that fault is diluted across these other suppliers in the chain. The fact of the matter is, though, that OpenAI has reserved 40% of the total global DRAM supply for years now. And that's for AI production for DRAM wafers. And that includes VRAM chips. OpenAI isn't NVIDIA. And so, again, it's easy to point at them and hand wave it, say it's not all NVIDIA's fault. But NVIDIA is still driving even that 40% reservation, because the fact of the matter is NVIDIA is the one that has been at least promising investments of now over $100 billion into OpenAI. And OpenAI needs to buy DRAM to attach to the systems that are going to host those NVIDIA products in one way or another and to fill their data centers. And NVIDIA's multiple investment promises are a huge part of this. So while, yes, other companies are involved, NVIDIA is still at the center of all of this. They have the most to lose right now. They are the most valuable company in the world. Aggregated via The Verge, but originally from The Information, the latter publication reported that NVIDIA favored AI production for GPUs due to DRAM limitations. The report states that, quote, NVIDIA is also slashing production of its current line of gaming chips, end quote. The aspect further corroborates what we've been hearing since December, including recent reports now of price support programs vanishing. That one was a couple weeks ago from Der Bauer, and from Hardware and Box about the 5070 Ti supply drying up. The Information also wrote that the next generation of GPUs, likely the 60 series, were, quote, originally scheduled to begin mass production at the end of 2027, end quote, citing pushback into potentially 2028 and beyond. We've previously illustrated how NVIDIA has lengthened its timeline between GPU architectures. Broadly, the company has moved toward a 30-month gen-to-gen launch cadence. NVIDIA trended up from closer to 12 to 18 months to 24 months with the 30 to 40 series. We made this table before the 50 series launch, but that final blank box would be about 27 months or so, matching the 10 to 20 series era. NVIDIA is trending longer here. If it pushes into mid-year 2027 for the 60 series, that'd roughly match the 27 to 30 month trajectory. As for the AI cost of memory, more supply shifting to HBM from easier to make GDDR memory could have an impact of 2.3x to 3x more die area consumption per gigabit of HBM, per technical analysts we consulted previously, which further dries up supply for the higher yield parts that are less complex, which would be the consumer parts. In the meantime, new reports indicate that AMD and Intel are reducing shipments of CPUs to China, with wait times now extending out towards 6 months for some highly in-demand CPUs. And so we get back to the title, it's all beginning to crumble. The cracks in the foundation are clear, except for one class of people, which is the billionaires who are benefiting from all of this. But that's another story. Palantir, a member of the military-industrial complex that's also spying on American citizens and which has been linked in reporting to predictive policing, has fallen in stock price by 25% in 6 months. This is the company where Jensen Huang said,
"We work with Palantir to accelerate everything Palantir does."
But they're not alone in the fall. ServiceNow Incorporated, which sells a so-called AI control tower, has had its stock fall 45% in 6 months. Salesforce also heavily pushed AI and is down 24% in 6 months. Comparatively to these, Nvidia is okay. They're flat over 6 months and down from the all-time high. Microsoft is down 25% for 6 months. Oracle, 45% for 6 months. And this is one of the key companies to the circular AI funding. CoreWeave is down 23% in spite of Nvidia announcing a new $2 billion investment into the company. Supermicro is down 28%. Amazon, 7%. Adobe, 22%. Meta, 15%. SAP SE, 31%. C3 AI, which bears the stock ticker AI, is down by almost 55%. CrowdStrike, 15%. AI robotics firm Symbiotic, down 8%. Astera Lab, 8%. Snowflake, not to be confused with our own Snowflake, the cat CEO, is down by 22%, but our Snowflake stock has never been higher, she wants you to know. Not everyone is down. Technically, AMD is up 26% over 6 months, but down from its recent highs. Broadcom is also up 8%, though down from its highs. Micron is still hugely up, despite a dip from highs, because they had the courage to say, "fuck you," directly to consumers. Now the trend here is that software companies seem to be having trouble. Jensen Huang a few days ago said something pretty interesting about this.
Remember what software is. Software is a tool. There's this notion that the tool in the software industry is in decline and will be replaced by AI. You could tell because there's a whole bunch of software companies whose stock prices are under a lot of pressure. Because somehow, AI is going to replace them. It is the most illogical thing in the world, and time will prove itself.
And actually, Sam Altman also had something to say in December. It seems even Sam Altman doesn't believe in these overinflated stock prices.
I think the market more lost its mind when, earlier this year, you know, we would like meet with some company and that company's stock would go up 20% or 15% the next day.
That was crazy.
That felt really unhealthy. I'm actually happy that there's like a little bit more skepticism and rationality in the market now, because it felt to me like we were just totally heading towards a very unstable bubble. And now I think people are some degree of discipline. So I actually think things are, I think people went crazy earlier and now people are being more rational.
Now, some of these drops, of course, are not just because of the failure of the technology to deliver or the fact that it was oversold and it doesn't really do much of anything yet. Some of the problems are, of course, because at the government level, there are no non-clowns left in the clown car. And that also has an impact on economic performance. But there's a lot of factors at play here. And a lot of the performance, we think, the negative performance, is because the trust in these companies to deliver on the bullshit that they are peddling is falling. There are fewer and fewer people available to take that bag and pass it on to the next guy. And that's going to eventually be a problem. We're seeing that as some of these companies start to shop loans for things like data center projects, where eventually there aren't going to be many institutions that can afford those types of acquisitions, those purchases of debt. So the AI software companies in particular are getting crushed right now, a lot of the ones we just named anyway. And some companies are still up. I mean, TSMC is another example of that. They have a real thing they make, and they're the only one that does it. Makes sense they would benefit. Micron, again, said fuck off to consumers, and they're doing pretty damn well because of that. But the foundation overall in the AI industry, we think, is shaking. And as Jensen Huang himself said, per Business Insider via Yahoo, quote, "If we delivered a bad quarter, it's evidence there's an AI bubble. If we delivered a great quarter, we are fueling the AI bubble. If we delivered a bad quarter, if we're off by just a hair, if it looked just a little bit creaky, the whole world would have fallen apart. There's no question about that, okay? You should have seen some of the memes that are on the internet. Have you guys seen some of them? We're basically holding the planet together. And it's not untrue. Nobody in history has ever lost $500 billion in a few weeks. You've got to be worth a lot to lose $500 billion in a few weeks," end quote. And maybe rarely for Jensen Huang, this comment that it's not untrue that NVIDIA is holding the planet together after talking about memes of them holding the planet together, that doesn't come from a place of ego, I don't think. Like, that's just actually the reality right now. It's, he said it, and it's not because he has a highly inflated self-importance of NVIDIA. It's because that's true.
And in AI, it's basically one company is making, NVIDIA is making over 100% of the profits. Everybody else is collectively losing money.
And these companies have already given up on consumers. We've covered that extensively now for months. You've seen plenty of videos of it, of us talking about that. At some point, they'll eventually need consumers again. But for now, consumers are not customers for these companies. Consumers are competition, because the businesses want to keep funneling the money to each other. They want to keep buying and trading products with each other. They'll pass a little bit of stock this way for some GPUs that way, and they'll maybe do a lease back deal on the GPUs or something. And if something goes wrong, they're doing fine anyway, the people running the companies. They'll cut some staff. They'll cut back on some of the promises. They'll keep their bag, and you'll get screwed, just like has been happening the last several months. And the businesses need that supply for these components so they can rent it back to you later, so that they can continue to embed themselves up the ass of whatever government will take their bribes. And a lot of that is coming back around full circle to not even consumer problems, but to just problems of humanity, where there's a rise in global surveillance, there's a rise of spying on people. It's the technology companies that are fueling this. Again, like we said in the past, the only real difference, we think, as an opinion, between the US's version of spying on people with these private corporations and, let's say, the one that China is constantly pointed at as an example of what's bad, is that in the US, they do it under private companies and they pretend like they're not involved, and it's all just capitalism. It's just how the world works. And if Flock wants to do it, that's Flock doing it. But Flock and Palantir and these other companies, they work with governments and they work with other entities to trade, sell, and move data around that can be utilized to fuck you. And you might not know how that's going to happen today, but they're going to do it. You might not ever know how it's done. That's my concern. We're back to the tinfoil hat. But some of this stuff, it's not even tinfoil hat theory anymore. There's documented cases of grocery stores that will adjust the price of products on shelves based on how much they think you specifically are willing to bear that price. And as we've said before, I think they're going to push people, these companies will push people to just below the point at which they break and they snap. And if they do happen to break and snap, then they can turn that technology against you then too. So this is, it's a big corrupt circle that we've been covering for quite a while now. And the tech companies are at the center of all of it. And finally, there's some cracks starting to show. I guess the question is, what's going to happen at the end of that? And the other question I have is, are consumers going to forgive too quickly? Even if this is, we might be talking 3 years into the future that things turn around. I'm not sure. But I do wonder if consumers will just instantly forgive as soon as a stick of memory is affordable again, because obviously we all have things that we enjoy and would like to do, like building computers or playing video games on a new system. And I'm curious to see how much pain these companies are forced by consumers to endure as retribution or payment for the actions and for what they've put consumers through in this time. But I guess we'll look at that when it happens. So that's it for this one. Thanks for watching. You can support this series of coverage on our AI Dystopia Kickstarter-style campaign on the GN store, store.gamersnexus.net. We're going to close that campaign pretty soon here the next couple of days and get whatever remains shipped out. A lot of them's already shipped already, and the last couple of backer Q&As and things like that. So you can go to the store for that to help us directly. Thanks for your support. Thanks for watching. It's a lot of research to put together, but hopefully that gives you a pretty decent recap of what's happening. Subscribe for more. We'll see you all next time.